Greetings, dear friends in Christ. On behalf of First Presbyterian Church of Fond du Lac, Wisconsin, and KFIZ Radio, we are presenting a podcast. These podcasts are a replacement to our normal worship experience, which is suspended due to the outbreak of the coronavirus and the need for us to maintain separation for each other's health. This podcast is produced and can be accessed on our website, FDLPresbyterian.org. We have a couple of things coming up that we want to share with you as we begin worship. The first is that we will be having a midweek podcast that's available on our website. We also have some special worship experiences that can be accessed from our website and are provided for opportunities for us to get together over the time of Holy Week. This same worship service is available as a video form that can be accessed from our YouTube channel. That information is on our website as well. We welcome you to this time of worship and joy and pray that this would be a time of lifting each other up as we especially celebrate the gift of Christ's triumphant entry on Palm Sunday. May the Lord bless us as we gather and worship together.
Please join me in the call to worship. When the Lord entered the gates of the holy city, crowds shouted his praise and waved palm branches. But within the bounds of the city, there were some who feared him. Even today, some let fear define their lives. On this day, let us allow the humility of the Son of God lead us past the places of our fear and worry into the kingdom of God, where everyone dwells together in peace.
Lord of abundant grace and mercy, be with us this day as we gather apart for worship. We long to be with the crowds, shouting and celebrating, singing Hosanna. We wish that Holy Week was to be the completion of the sacrifices of Lent and reward of Easter together. But instead, we seek to live in the humility that you showed us, Jesus, our Savior, making the most of the time that we may share healing, hope, and grace with one another. In humility, teach us to look beyond our own emotions and wants, so that way we may be part of your celebration of the coming justice and peace. Amen.
Please join me in the prayer of confession. Lord Jesus, we confess that we would rather have a joyful parade than to sit and wait. We would prefer to have our way and to do what we want than to be still. It is hard to get away from the noise when it is in our own minds and hearts. It is difficult to let go of our own wants and worries and to listen. But we know that peace does not come from noise, and humility does not come from aggression. Show us how to be the people of this time, to be present in this moment, and open to hearing your voice of love and peace. Enable us to learn and grow in your peace in this time, we pray. Amen. Now please take a moment for silent reflection and confession.
The New Testament scripture this week is one of my favorites. I think it captures the heart of Christianity. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. sin, that we might become his righteousness. He humbled himself and carried the cross. Love so amazing. Love so amazing. Jesus, Messiah.
Gospel lesson for today is very familiar for Palm Sunday, and it's one we've heard very frequently. It is the story of Jesus' triumphant entry into the city of Jerusalem. According to Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 11, when they had come near Jerusalem and had headed toward Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say, 'This, the Lord needs them,' and he will send them immediately." This took place to fulfill what has been spoken through the prophets, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and that following were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" The crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." Let us pray. Holy God, enable us to hear your word and to respond with your love. Enable us to experience your presence. And though we are apart and though we are unable to gather as one, enable this time to be a time in which we are strengthened in our love for you and for one another. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen. We're beginning Holy Week in the era of the coronavirus, and it's an odd way for us to come together. On the other hand, it was recently pointed out to me that the actual events of Holy Week did not take place in a church, let alone in a synagogue or even entirely at the temple. The events of Holy Week began on the road going into Jerusalem. The events of Holy Week took place in the upper room of a home, around the table, enjoying the meal of the Lord's Supper. And the events of Holy Week took place when he was questioned at a palace, when he was betrayed in a garden, when he was led to a hill and crucified. The events of Holy Week all take place in various places, in various circumstances, and what holds them together is Christ at the center. And so being away from our usual way of gathering, being outside of our normal comfort spot, it puts us in a position that maybe we can be more mindful of what the relationship of Holy Week really is in terms of our relationship with Jesus. Possibly we can hold closer and be closer to one another. The whole point about Palm Sunday is about Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem, but what makes that entry powerful is Jesus' humility. He entered the city as one who was fulfilling a role that showed what leadership really is supposed to be, that described how authority is truly designed to be shared. He showed humility. Humility is so misunderstood, and I know we've talked about this multiple times, but it helps for us to recognize that humility is not weakness. Humility is not to be someone who is less than capable. Quite the opposite. The image of humility that was often used in Roman society was of a great, well-trained horse of war. A war horse was an animal with tremendous strength and tremendous capability, and yet it was under control. It did not move unless it was guided by the slightest touch of the one who was its rider in control. True humility is about having strength, having capability, but keeping that capability and that strength under submission to a much higher calling and a more important purpose. Humility means self-discipline, confidence, capability. This is rather important for us because humility is in very, very short supply in our world right now. We got a ton of arrogance. We've got piles and piles of self-aggrandizement and huge amount of self-promotion available. You can't turn on the media without encountering somebody who is in some way trying to provide their enlarged self. Humility is so much less common, and it's amazing how powerful humility is. Just a teaspoon of humility can leave an impression that will stay with us for weeks. A small gift of humility will guide us and give us hope. We have no real use for all of the arrogance, all of the hostility that comes with all of the self-promotion. But we're in desperate need of a little bit of humility. In the story, Jesus arranges to be on a donkey and sends word so that the donkey would specifically fulfill the image in Isaiah of the king coming to the city of Jerusalem. in Isaiah's prophecy, the point about the donkey, is that the king would not come on a horse of war or in a chariot. The king would come as a teacher comes, as a rabbi comes, as someone who is a thoughtful prophet comes. The donkey is a symbol of peacefulness, of wisdom, of self-restraint. And it's interesting that Jesus chose to enter the city by the southeast side. He came around past Bethphage into the area, first having to pass by the rubbish dump, the place where all of the trash and refuse from Jerusalem would be taken. And this took him by the slums outside of Jerusalem, the homes of the people who were of very low means, the people who were abandoned, and the widowed and parentless children. As he came, he drew behind him a growing crowd of people who were excited to see that Jesus, this one who had accomplished so much, was coming in a fulfillment of a sign that immediately resonated with them. And they recognized and cried out, "Hosanna, Lord, save us. Give us your peace." It is thought that on the opposite side of the city, an event that happened on an annual basis before the Passover, Pontius Pilate was arriving at the head of a legion of centurions, of armed soldiers in their polished armor and their swords. He was known to do this sitting upon a large horse, and historians did not gift him with a good image because they described him as a small man on a big horse, and that this somehow emphasized his inability to really make a strong impression at times. And so as Pilate came into the high rent district of Jerusalem, Jesus would have been leading his procession of people who were looking for humility by the other side of the city. In that way, there was this moment in which the people were gifted with a contrast, a ability to see what real leadership is intended to be, what real strength is made up of. It is the sign of God's grace and God's gift of Christian maturity when we see people who are able to use that humility, that self-restraint, that ability to see wider than themselves, to be able to be people who act with grace and love and compassion. It is interesting that there is a principle, what we sow is what we reap. If we learn humility, if we practice humility, we tend to find ourselves encountering more people of maturity, strength, confidence, and humility. It's hard to say whether it's that like draws like, or whether it's that we become more aware of those who are near us who show these traits, but there is a power within humility that we definitely want to draw upon and encourage and be able to see more frequently. We see it in circumstances around us. This last week, I have two friends who had posts on Facebook. The first one had posted a ranting frustration of the coronavirus robbing them of their plans. She and her husband were going to be going on a cruise. Several people suggested they should go ahead and go. The attitude was that because somebody had messed up someplace, she wasn't going to be able to do this, and they were losing their deposit. After the cruise, the other plans they had included that they had season tickets for their favorite Major League Baseball team that they were looking forward to root on, a tour through the Southwest, and other plans. And all of this has been disrupted because of forces that are out of their control, and they were so upset about it. At the same time, I also saw another post, and it's interesting how humility begets humility. It was a simple post. The person who placed it was identifying that a family member of hers is a nurse and working double shifts and having to isolate from her family so as to avoid any danger of infection, and that she's afraid for her daughter, and that she was lifting her daughter in prayer and wondering if there are other people who wanted to lift in prayer, similar circumstances. And the reposts and the comments were then loaded with the names of healthcare workers, grocers, people who were making a difference in their neighborhood, reaching out to neighbors. It became a work of gratitude for the sacrifices that were being made, and at the same time, a lifting in prayer for people that they be safe, that they be secure. It's different. On the one hand, as we focus on ourselves, as we become very intact with our own emotional turmoil, we become people who are unable to really see what's happening in the lives of other people. When we learn and practice humility, when we follow in this manner, we become people who make a difference, not only when those are people who are close to us, but it can be so much more powerful for all of those who are in need. This is what the Apostle Paul was talking about in his letter to the church in Ephesus. Strangely enough, the city of Ephesus was going through serious transitions and changes, part of which took place because a series of influenza epidemics that had caused a large number of deaths in the city. And following a couple of the waves of these epidemics, the city had gone through some shifts in terms of how people related to each other, more empowerment of some of the people who had been less important in the city and bringing down of people who had been more dominant in the past. And this was affecting the church. These power shifts were enticing people into various camps and groups and parties, and that division was threatening to damage the fellowship of the church of Ephesus that the Apostle Paul had worked so hard to establish. And so the Apostle Paul talks about having the mind that was in Christ Jesus, that did not count equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant. And in that line, which is very poetic and probably was initially written as a intention for a hymn, he's saying to actually take upon ourselves a practice of how we think, a shaping of our attitude, our mind, our orientation, to not count that which is powerful, something to be exploited or clasped onto for dear life, but to allow ourselves to drain away our self-importance, our feelings of entitlement, our influence, and instead take on the servant's role. In this passage, as the Apostle Paul is talking about this, he is inviting the people to know this mind of a humble servant that was in Christ Jesus, that was a mind of peace and power, a mind of compassion and sacrifice. Rather than worrying about our own position, worrying about what we've lost, it gives us an invitation to be focused upon what God will accomplish through us. Having this mind that was in Christ Jesus, Jesus even allowed himself to be reduced to the place of a servant, one who even died on a cross, the most humiliating of deaths, in order that salvation be brought to us. But in this way, the other principle is shown to us. Those who practice humility, those who allow themselves not to be caught up in their sense of importance, entitlement, who are not dominated by their feelings of fear and the need to defend their purpose and their point, those people are lifted up by God. They are raised up by the signs and power that God places upon us. It's a principle that holds true. If we will learn this self-discipline, this restraint, and this humility, God will lift us, and it is so much more powerful than anything we can do by trying to bolster ourselves or bring ourselves up. The crowds called out to Jesus as he rode by them, "Lord, save us, Hosanna." They looked to him and they saw in this humility, in this wisdom, in this gift of grace, there was a possibility of transformation, healing, and renewal. Somebody who saw beyond his own position and his own status, such as Pilate always was focused upon, and instead, he saw the people. Let us have this same mind so that we see the people who are near us with compassion and grace, with love and encouragement. And in that way, we continue to demonstrate the love and the power of God. We will seek to be the people with the mind of humility that brings healing and hope to the people who are near us. Let us pray. Almighty God, we are grateful that you sent Jesus, our Savior, into the world to lead us and show us the way to live and free us from insecurities and fears that rob us from the ability to be true to your word and your teaching. Strengthen us so that in your love and peace, we will have a foundation that enables us to have the same mind that was in Christ Jesus and to have this mind together. We lift in prayer all of those who are in need of your love and care, in particular, Holy God. We lift those who are suffering with the coronavirus and other illness in our country and all around the world. Protect those who are caregivers, health workers, first responders. Guide and bless all of those who are working to provide food, to give that which sustains. Bless the people who we name in our hearts that are precious and those whom we want to see you give safety and blessing to. Now draw us together in the words that you've taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift the light of his countenance upon you and give you peace, both now and in life everlasting. Amen. This has been First Presbyterian Church of Fond du Lac and our opportunity to worship together. You can find out more about the church at www.fdlpresbyterian.org. fdlpresbyterian.org. You can reach me by emailing me at revjharrison, R-E-V-J-H-A-R-R-I-S-O-N, at fdlpresbyterian.org. We look forward to the time when we can come together to worship at our facilities at 1225 4th Street here in Fond du Lac. But in the meantime, we pray God's blessing be with everyone. God bless you all.